Well, take our Bibles and go to Romans 12. Certainly thankful to God for His love and His goodness. Also thankful for having allowed us to have this time together. It's all we got is time. Might as well spend it with each other. Friday night was just electrifying to my soul. I guess it blessed you guys too. A lot of you went out and stayed up all night like good people do. Steve and I were talking on the phone today, Saturday. I called him Saturday morning, or he called me, or somebody called somebody. We were so excited because Friday night was so great. And he said, oh yeah, and they stayed up until 4:30 in the morning. I said, man, remember Steve? Remember back when in California? Man, we had this place, this International House of Pancakes in Oakland, California, man. The parking lot was the place to lead people into speaking in tongues. I mean, anytime we wanted to lead somebody in tongues, we took them to the IHOP parking lot, let them in, see, and then bought them a cup of coffee. But I guess you guys aren't cheap like I used to be. We used to spend all night in IHOP and buy, you know, one coffee. The waitresses really loved us, boy. We leave a 10-cent tip. And they go, who the heck are those guys? So, it was electrifying Friday night. I was blessed to see Jamie get healed. I was blessed to see Lance stand on his power of attorney. That thrilled me. If nothing else happened that night, that was just the greatest. That was great. But here in Romans chapter 12, it says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Where do we find the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, Manny? In His Word. It's the only place. The only place you're going to find it. These flowers are nice, I guess. And they're gonna just die someday. This hotel's wonderful, but you're not going to find God here unless we're here teaching the Word. You're not going to find God in the stars and in the moon and in nature. To change our mind and to renew them, we must change the thoughts that we feed our minds. And this takes time. Go to Philippians. It would have been nice had when we got born again, our minds changed too. That would have been A-okay. But God is a God of free will, isn't He?
Yeah.
He gave us free will. What a loving God we have. Here in Philippians chapter 2, we look at verse 5. It says, let this mind or let these thoughts be in you, which were also in Christ Jesus. God's exhortation to the believer is to have the mind of Christ, to think the way He thought. Now, it is impossible for any of us to think the way He thought unless we go to God's Word and discover and look at the way He thought, the way He handled situations, the way what His mind would refer back to when He was under pressure. I don't think any of us have ever been pressured to the degree and magnitude that Jesus Christ was when He was tempted in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights without food. And He comes back and the first thing the devil tempts Him with is food. And Jesus Christ's response was, it is written. He always responded with the Word of God in times of pressure. So there is something that we can learn, how that we can, when we're under pressure, when we get attacked by the adversary, our response, our thought mechanism goes to the Word of God. Yesterday, I was playing softball, and I chased a fly ball, and I thought I was 21 again, and I ran too fast, and I stretched my legs too quickly, and my hamstring muscle popped. I heard it pop, like, it just popped. Now, when that happens, it means that those tendons back there snapped, which means that's not a good thing to happen. And this, I'm yelling at every... Somebody get your ass over here and pray for me. Mad. When I get hurt, I don't usually get mad that I'm hurt. I get mad that I'm hurt and that I'm doggone. I was mad because I didn't catch the foul ball. I was just pissed off, man. So the guy, he walked totally by his senses, thought I had a cramp, so pushed my leg back. Like that, I said, it's a hamstring. God, just pray for me, please. Don't think, just pray. He almost killed me. So he prayed, and I'm mad as a hornet. I get out of there, and I leave about 25 believers just standing there. I just left them, went home. I'm a different kind of guy. I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to see a believer. I didn't want to say I was mad. And God healed me. I don't know how. Because you're not supposed to walk when that happens. You're not supposed to do anything but lay there. So I'm blessed. I'm thankful. I could have gone by my senses, but my first response was, somebody pray for me. The guy almost breaks my leg, but bless his heart. I'll tell you what, he did pray, and all he said was, God, heal him in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know what? I got healed. And he called me later. Bless this guy's heart. He says, you know, Jerry, it's been on my heart since I prayed for you that, you know, when we've spoken tongues, and you know how you speak in tongues every day, simple it is for you to be healed. So you just need to confess it. And I wanted to come through the phone and slap. I know that. But instead I thanked him because he was right. And I said, geez, guy calling me for it. I'm a different kind of guy. But I'm thankful. I'm healed. Hallelujah. You know, you want your wife to baby you. Yeah, no such. Nothing. Yeah. Let these thoughts be in you, which was also in who?
Christ.
And the types of thoughts he had, he would refer to God. He would refer to his word. Boy, at the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's just about to die, he went to God three times in prayer. God, you know, when he was going to choose his apostles, he prayed all night. If anybody could have just gotten revelation, it would have been Jesus Christ, but he stayed his mind all night. How long has it been? Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you how? Richly, not poorly. Richly, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We should govern our thoughts and continue to absorb spiritual knowledge from God's Word. And as we do this, our minds become pure. As we saturate our minds in the things of God, our minds become pure. And they also become clearer as to what truth is. And it's not a casual, passive mentioning of the Scriptures in our mind that enters the top of our heads. But we must hide them in the depths of our heart. Proverbs 4. The word Proverbs means words to rule and govern by. The book of Proverbs was written to youth. And here in chapter 4 of Proverbs, in verse 20 through 23, it says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear into my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine what? For they are life." God's words are life unto those that find them. God's words are life to you and to me. They are life. When we read God's word believingly, it ministers life unto us. Man. "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it," the heart, "are the issues of life." See? Out of the heart, which is the innermost part of our being, and the innermost part of our mind, come the real issues of life. "Believing emanates from the heart. From the top of the mind come thoughts." And this is where mental assent comes from, the top of our minds. We can quote scriptures with the top of our minds. We can say the Word of God is the will of God with the top of our minds. But believing stems from the depths of one's heart, the innermost part of one's being. And many times when we're in situations that merit immediate decisions, you will see where your heart lies by the response that you make. Mental assent comes from the top of our minds. And if we're going to achieve the results of the Word, we've got to believe from our heart. Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. I'm sorry, Mark 11. Leviticus 11. Mark 11. Verse 23 of Mark chapter 11. "For verily I say unto you," Mark 11 verse 23, "that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he what?" It's like the story of the woman who lived in a house, and there was a forest blocking the view of these beautiful mountain chains. And her whole life she wanted to see the mountains out of her window instead of the forest. So one day she just decided that she was going to believe this verse. That she was going to believe that those trees would be gone so she could see the mountain. And she went to sleep. Before she went to sleep, she says, "God, I just thank you that tomorrow morning when I wake up, I can see the mountains and there'll be no more trees. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen." And she woke up, the alarm, 6 o'clock in the morning, as light came through the window. Rolled up the blinds, and there they were, the forest. And she said, "I knew it wouldn't happen." See, believing comes from the heart. She said, "Boy, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, no more force." But did she believe? No. Her first response when she woke up was, "I knew it wouldn't happen." Doubt also comes from the heart. Doubt, which leads to negative believing, also emanates from the heart. Unless the new birth is cared for, nurtured, and unless the mind is renewed, which is the mind being fed on God's word and then putting it into practice, the believer will slip back into the normalcy of society with which he's surrounded. Also slip back into the environment that he's surrounded. Unless the new birth is nurtured and cared for, taken care of, and the mind is renewed. Which means the mind being fed God's word and put into practice with believing. Then we, as believers, will slip back into the normalcy of society and the environment with which we're surrounded. All knowledge of the human mind comes by way of the five senses. We either see it, we taste it, we touch it, we smell it, or we hear it. And unless that knowledge and that mind is brought into subjection, the believer will never manifest a life that's more than abundant. The mind must be fed God's word, then put into practice. This is how the mind comes into fellowship with the spirit. Because the mind and the spirit are two different things. The spirit is perfect. The spirit is Christ in us. The spirit is the inner man, the inward man, the new creation. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's perfect. There is no spot. It's perfect. We read God's word. We put it in our mind and in our hearts. Then we believe it. This is how the mind comes into fellowship with that spirit. Very important to understand. And very simple. Romans 12, we go there again. You see, God's word has to be simple or he could have never given it to us. Or me. Because I can't figure stuff out. Oh, if you only knew. It takes me 10 times as long as most people to understand the word of God. Really, it does. But when I got it, yeah, ain't nobody going to take it from me. I empathize with people sometimes who think they're stupid. Boy, I used to be the first one and still at times have problems with that. Thinking everybody's smarter than me and Jesus, how could they? They're smart. I'm stupid. But that's such a lie. We ain't stupid. We're stupid enough that we believe. Then there's other people who think they're smart. That group always cracks me up. First one. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To beseech is to beg or to lovingly implore. Boy, when God does something like that, when God's word says, I beg you, or I lovingly implore you to do anything, we ought to really pay attention to see that which the word of God is exhorting us and begging me to do. What's it say? By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a what kind of sacrifice? Amen. God can't do this for us. But we are to be living sacrifices. And then he shows you how in verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transfigured, it should read, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What a scripture. God's begging us to not be conformed to this world. That we are to be living sacrifices, and the way that you do it is prove the perfect, acceptable will of God, which is the Word of God. And you can't prove anything you don't know. We must know what the Scriptures say. We must know it. And it's not a head knowledge game, but we got to know what the Word of God says. That's the most important thing in life. What's more important than that? History? You know, economics, the stock market. What's more important than knowing what life is? Accurately. Not this kind of way of handling the word. Well, I think it says in the gospel somewhere, Jesus once said, I think, you know. The only thing we need to be in a hurry doing in this life is rightly dividing the word of truth. But this part of the country is always in a hurry to do nothing. In a hurry to get into a traffic jam. in a hurry to get in big lines. It's just incredible. And you know what's more incredible? Believers buy it. They get right into it. Well, I got to be in a hurry too. The greatest cargoes of life come in over quiet seas, ladies and gentlemen. If we're ever to receive an abundance of revelation, we need to be in an abundance of peace. God can't talk to you living like the rest of this neighborhood lives. He'd have to violate everything in his word. This place is crazy. Them birds is crazy. 2 Corinthians 10. Second Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5 and 6. For the weapons of our warfare are what? They're not what? Wow. That's great. Now when somebody or something comes at us very negatively, one thing we know we should not do is respond in a carnal manner. What is carnal? Anything that has to do with the five senses. You know, it says in Romans, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. You know what? That's true. That's even true today. You know, some people have said, well, you got to wait until the gathering together and then, you know, all the devil spirits get killed and all that stuff. But I'll tell you what. Nobody can get away with messing with God's property, and you are God's property. If you don't try to handle it by your senses. I've seen it time and time again. See, nobody can mess with you, spiritually, physically, anyway. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations, and we had this one Friday, I think. We throw down with all our might any sense, knowledge, reasoning, and every high thing or false thing that exalteth itself against or above the knowledge of God. And where do we find the knowledge of God? In the Word of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled or seduced Eve, through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. If we take care of our thoughts will take care of us. If we're positive in our thinking, we'll live a positive life. Our will must be in subjection to the Word of God. Is our will God's will? That should be a great question that we ask ourselves every day. One great question that we must ask ourselves every day is, my walk glorifying to the one who's called me? Am I glorifying my Heavenly Father? Is my walk pleasing unto God? That should be a question we ask ourselves every day. And then if the answer is no, then we can change. And if the answer is yes, we just continue. Either way, it's great. We make our will track with God's will. It's a deliberate decision that happens in the mind and in the heart. If we think so, it's so. When negative thoughts come, we reject the thought and we place God's word, scripture, in our mind. When negative thoughts come, we reject it. I remember at Dr. Werwell's memorial service when he had died, Mrs. Werwell sharing, I can't stop negative thoughts from coming, but I can stop from entertaining them. I thought, boy, that's incredible. That's something. Negative thoughts will come because we live in a totally negative world. But we can stop from entertaining them. We don't have to entertain negative thoughts. We don't have to. Who says I have to? Don't. Who says you have? You don't either. It's great. Yeah, we think what we want to think also. We exercise authority over our thinking, but we think what we want to think. We say what we want to say. I love that rap. Didn't mean to say it. Well, the only way that could be true is if you were possessed.
Yeah.
We'll enjoy the peace of God, the love of God, and this life, provided we learn how to think. And I know what you're saying. You're saying, who the heck is he? Hey. Most of us have a real difficult time thinking. But we'll enjoy the peace of God and the love of God and this life, provided we learn how. We don't have to think about anything that we don't want to. Do we? I mean, we don't. Bishop Pillai once said, think only about the things you want to happen in your life. Go to Matthew chapter 6. We'll go to the Orient for a minute. Matthew 6. You see, the Bible's an Eastern book. That doesn't mean it was written in New York. It's Eastern culture. Okay? It's an Eastern book. And in the East, they have customs and mannerisms that we don't have in our country or in our hemisphere. And here we see a couple things. Lay not up for yourselves treasures. So verse 19, sorry, 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Now, does that verse make any sense at all? No. The answer is no. Unless you understand something I don't by reading it. It doesn't make a bit of sense. Verse 20. We'll get into it. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither rot of moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. For if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures. This word treasures is the word thoughts. We're not to lay up for ourselves thoughts upon earth, meaning our thoughts are not to be dealing with the senses. Where moth, and this word moth can be translated fear. Where fear and rust can be translated worry. Where lay not up for yourselves thoughts upon earth, where fear and rust or worry doth corrupt, and where thieves, and this word thieves is doubts, break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither fears nor worries doth corrupt, and where doubts do not break through nor steal. For where your thoughts is, there will your heart be what? The light of the body is in the eye, and this eye is referring to the thinking. Remember the other day I said if you really wanted to get to know somebody, you look in their eyes. You can see where people are at many times, but just by looking at them, if you walk with God. For where your thoughts are, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is in the eye, or in the thinking. If therefore thine eye, the thinking, be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye, or thy thoughts, be evil, or of the flesh, the whole body shall be full of darkness. You see, if our thoughts, our thinking patterns, our minds are on the things of this world, our whole life will be full of darkness. And it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how long we've been in the Word of God. We could be in the Word of God 20 years. We go a day of just thinking of things of the world. We're screwed up. Our heads, our thinking isn't right, and everything else isn't right. Our thinking should be on the Lord. Colossians 3. While you're going there, I'm going to read you Proverbs 23. Forgot that one. Proverbs 23, verse 7. I'll just read it here. Go to Colossians 3. And I'll read you Proverbs 23, 7. For it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." That's right. If you think it's so, it's so. "Eat and drink," saith he to thee, "but his heart is not with thee. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 1, it says, I better get there. It says, set your affections, I think, right? Oh, that's verse 2. Verse 1 says, "If ye then be risen," Colossians 3, 1 and 2, "if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." If is in the sense of since. "Since ye then be risen." Are we risen? Yeah, we're risen with Christ. So that we, it's "since ye then be risen with Christ." "Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Then verse 2 says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." God wants us to look at those things that are above. He wants us to set our thoughts on things above, not on the things of the world and the things that the world promulgates. Because the god of this world is the adversary. I don't need to put my head into things of this world. I don't need to check the stocks every day. I don't need to bite my fingers down to the second knuckle with worry and fear. It's not a need in my life. I don't need more of the world. I don't need more of it. I need less of it. And you don't get rid of darkness by dwelling on darkness. Por ejemplo, you're a liar. Well, man, I'm a liar. Okay. That was not a nice thing for me to say to you. I'm a liar. I got a problem with lying. So I decide today I'm not going to lie anymore. So you know what I do? All I'd be thinking about is what?
Lying.
Not lying, but lying would be in there. My old man, I'd just be thinking about the lies. I said, "Oh, I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie anymore." You don't get rid of darkness by dwelling on darkness. That's like people who say they're going to do the truth, and they do the truth at other people's expense. We never break God's word to keep it. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. All right. Verse 17 says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned who?
Right.
If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the former manner of life, the former conduct of our lives, that we put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, And I don't know. The devil knows. And you know what your weaknesses are. The areas that just trick you up enough that you don't really hit the mark spiritually. I don't know. You do. And so is the devil. And until you let him know that Jesus Christ is Lord in your life in that area and that you're not going to put up with his shenanigans, he's going to keep doing it. And be renewed in the spirit of your what? This is where the renewed mind takes place, in the mind. Otherwise, it would be the renewed toe. And he put on. Earlier he said, put off the former conversation. Here, put on the new man. Where do we do this?
In the mind.
In the mind. And he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true what? Wherefore putting away lying? I don't want it. Pray about it. Doesn't say pray about it. If God would have wanted to pray about it, there, you know what he had? Pray about it. It says, put away lying. Speak every man what? God not only tells us what we shouldn't do, he always tells us what we should do to replace it. Always. Always in the Word of God. I love that about my Father God. My earthly father wasn't always that loving. I'm not always that loving with my children either. Should be. But I'm learning. Anyway, God isn't like that. He says, don't do this, but here's what you do. You just put off lying, speak every man truth with his what? That's a great way to put off lying. And don't you tell me that my neighbor is somebody living in Bangladesh with a swollen belly. Not my neighbor. Believers, God's gonna get that crap, that condemnation that the world puts in your head, out. I'm not responsible for a starving nation. Let them believe God. Whose fault is it they're starving? Doggone right. It's the devil's, really. But it's theirs because they haven't risen up to believe the word. Do you think God isn't going to feed them if they're hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Uh-uh. God will always feed a person that's hungering after righteousness. It says so on his word. They're hungering after food. That's why they're starving. Sure, it's great, man. I know you. These are questions that come up. When, you get it when you witness something sometimes. I used to get it all the time when I first got in the Word. What about the people in Bangladesh, man? What about them? You know, the devil's always trying to put the believer and make them look foolish, make them look like they owe everybody. Like we're responsible for the Lord's death. I've heard that. I wasn't even alive. And you're going to blame that on me? Them Jews are smart. They got somebody else to do their dirty work. Still doing the same thing. Anyway. Wow. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. We're members one of another. It says be angry. I love that. But don't sin. Well, that's a balance I don't know if I've gotten to. But it's available to be angry and not sin. And I know how to do it. You get angry at the adversary. That's fun. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. There's the greatest verse for Christian marriages, I tell you what. Well, it's the greatest verse for, you know, our twigs should be like a marriage except for the sex, just about. And this is where twigs and marriages and relationships just go down the drain. You know why? Because we don't love big enough to share our hearts fully. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath simply means before you go to sleep, every burden, every care that you have is taken care of. And so many times that those cares or those burdens deal with other people and we need to take care of them before we go to bed so that we can sleep just wonderfully. My wife and I fight like cats and dogs. We have at least one debate every day. And I love it. I do. You know why? Because we're honest. We don't care who's in the house, do we, Karen? I could care less. I could care less if all of you were over the house. Now, Joyce might care. But I don't. Who here has never argued? So you're going to hide it? I'll tell you, Dr. Werrell and Mrs. Werrell were great examples of this. He'd yell at her. He wouldn't care. She'd say, yes, honey. She was great. Not the sun go down upon your ass means you get it off your chest. That's the reason Joyce and I talk. We never blow up. We rarely have a huge blowout because we constantly communicate. Constantly. And that's all it takes. It's constant. We talk every day. We talk. We just sit and talk. We talk 25 minutes to an hour every day. Just talk. And this is with three kids and phone calls and things happen. We talk like human beings. We love each other. Let not the sun... That's the way you don't get the sun to ever go down upon your ass. You talk it out. You talk it through. Don't be afraid what someone's going to think of you. If I'm going to think less of you for you speaking up your heart, then I'm not too good of a guy. It's a great verse here. These are renewed mind verses. These are the things, boy, these simple truths. We just applied them and believed them. Be angry, sin not, love not, the sun will go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the adversary, and that's one great way to give place to the adversary, is let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't share your heart. You know what eventually happens? It's like a big zit. You know zit, pimple. You know, let's talk boil. Major pus. That baby festers and festers and festers and festers, and pretty soon, ba-boom! She blows one day. Pus gets all over the mirror and your hand. And you wipe and it gets on your shirt. Big, pussy, ugly, scummy, white, poisonous, pukey, nasty zit. Pus. That's like the sun going down upon your ass. You do that consistently, Bob. Boom! You're going to say things you don't mean. You're going to do things you don't want to do. You had a little lean. Talk every day. That's one reason twigs should meet a lot. Let him that stole steal. No more. Doesn't say pray about it. Does. Says let him that steal no more. But, and here's what we should do. Rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Boy, that's a new concept in the world. The way it overcomes stealing is by work. And the reason for work is so you give. The reason for work is not to pile up a storehouse of money. The reason for work is so that we can give. Man, that's a new concept. This is what God's word says. I didn't write it. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. Look up to God and tell him he's nuts. Let no corrupt or putrid communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is what?
Good
to the use of what? That it may minister grace unto the who? Wow. No corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, the use of building up, that it may minister undeserved divine favor unto the hearers. You know, the first characteristic of a faithful minister mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2 is? Verse 1, rather. Be strong in the grace. My son, be strong in the grace. Here, God's word says we can be ministers of his grace. What a privilege. Jeez. To be able to bless people when they don't even deserve being blessed. With God's blessing. I wouldn't mind. With God's. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and anger and evil speaking be put away with you with all what? You know, an incredibly intense desire to get rid of them. It takes a desire to change. You know that? It takes a desire to want to change from our old man habit patterns to God's Word. And one thing believers do a great job of is hiding. They hide behind this mask really that doesn't exist and really thinks that nobody knows how really screwed up I really am. So I'll just play along this God thing and look real cool, but nobody knows. But you know something? God knows. You can fool me. I'm an easy mark. I'm easy. But I can't fool God. I could fool you, but I can't fool God. I have to look to Him every day and say, Father, this is your day. What do I do? I'm not going to try to fool my God. That's why I make the statement so oftentimes, if we have a genuine relationship with God this way will just be cake. It's no problem. Why? I'd never be afraid of anything you'd think of me. I should never be afraid of what you think of me. I should care less. I should just assume you're going to love me because I love you. If I got it this way, then no problem that way. But if I don't have it this way, I'm going to try to fake you out. And you're going to try to fake me out if you have that same kind of relationship. And then all you have at best is religion. And I don't want that. God doesn't desire for me to be religious or to have religion. He desires me to have a way of a father with his family. Hey, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. It's great. Verse 32. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We should never have a problem forgiving other people. And boy, sometimes we say the stupidest things or we do the stupidest things. But you know something? We should never have a problem forgiving one another because of all that God has forgiven us for. We should never, I mean, anytime you point a finger at somebody, you're pointing three back at yourself. You know, Colossians 3 again, verse 12 says, put on, therefore, again, God's word exhorting us to put on, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Look at God's, he calls us the elect of God, verse 12, chapter 3 of Colossians. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. God's viewpoint of us is we're the elect of Him. We're elected of God. Woo! We're holy. We're beloved. And He exhorts us to put on bowels of mercy. The innermost part of our being, God wants us to put on mercy. He wants us to put that on, to withhold merited judgment on people that should have merited judgment placed upon them. In other words, that keeps us away from being critical when one blows it. Kindness, I heard this translated once, be nice. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. This is what God wants us to put on. Are we as hungry for God's word today as we were yesterday? Are we willing to change our mind? Long-suffering, the ability to endure for a while. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, the love of God, and the renewed mind and manifestation, which is the bond, the cohesiveness of perfectness. This love of God is the bond, the cohesiveness, the thing that sticks together, this perfectness. And let the peace of God, the what?
Yeah.
The peace of God, people. And let the peace of God, we let it, the peace of God, rule or reign supremacy in our top of our heads. No. In our hearts. To the which also, ye are called in one body and be what?
Amen.
man. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to who?
Lord.
And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto the men. See, that's why we do what we do, is for God. The reason I'm doing this is because I have God's permission to do it. It's an answer to a prayer of mine. Asked God about 5 months ago to show me some people that were really faithful and really wanted to believe His word. And God has. Knowing that the Lord of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve who?
Christ.
Amen. We don't get rid of darkness by dwelling on darkness. We get rid of darkness by dwelling on light. To enlarge and to control our thinking, we must not only study God's Word, but we must allow the Word of God to sink into the depths of our hearts. One great way to hide God's Word in our hearts is to learn and to practice the stayed mind. And we'll be learning about that after the break. So God bless. Have a break.